My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning to comment briefly on the epistle and gospel. And in the epistle, we have those words that we have heard so often before: charity covers a multitude of sins. St. Peter, the first pope, reminding the early Christians that charity is the hallmark by which we are identified as followers of Christ. He says, before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. Those words, charity covers a multitude of sins, should be a great consolation to us. We all, no doubt, have many sins of our past that we are very sorry for, that we have confessed, but we also would like to make sure that they are completely covered. In other words, what we refer to as the temporal punishment due to sins has been atoned for. And what a great consolation if we strive to practice charity, to know that in God's eyes, that charity covers a multitude of sins. So let us renew that determination to practice charity, love of God and love of neighbor. And of course, love of neighbor is the overflowing of our love of God. And to think of what ways can I practice charity? How can I increase in charity? How can I practice charity in a way that maybe I haven't done in the past? Where am I failing in charity? So those words are a great comfort to us, that charity covers a multitude of sins. Now, in today's gospel, which actually were the words spoken by our Lord at the Last Supper, recorded by St. John the Evangelist, the night before he died, and our Lord gave a fairly lengthy discourse, which covers several chapters of St. John's Gospel, and today is a small excerpt of that discourse. And our Lord tells the apostles how they're going to be persecuted, but they should not be afraid. They should not be surprised when persecution comes, because he is warning of them in advance. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh that whoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And as our Lord points out, they had done that to him. So his followers should not expect to be any different. I remember reading that Pope Pius IX was visiting a seminary in Rome, and he was speaking to the seminarians, and he asked them, what are the marks of the church? And one of the seminarians said, one, holy, catholic, and apostolic, what we've all learned in our catechism. And he said, you missed one. They thought, well, seminarians thinking, all the seminarians, wait a minute, aren't there only four? And then the Pope went on to say, the fifth mark of the church is persecution. You can tell the true church because it will be persecuted. And so, if we are, or when we are persecuted, we should not be downcast or discouraged. Rather, we should be comforted that we are on the right path. Because the world, as our Lord said, the world, as he said to his apostles, the world will hate you, but know that it has hated me before you. So our Lord predicts persecution, but he also gives the apostles something to console them. And he is telling them about the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now again, this was the night before his passion and death. And then, of course, after he rose from the dead, he remained on earth for 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven and told the apostles, as I mentioned before Mass, to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Ghost. And how they were transformed, we will reflect upon that more next Sunday. How the apostles were changed by the coming of the Holy Ghost. Extraordinary change that came over them. But he begins the gospel for today, the excerpt we read today, by saying, when the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me. Now, the Holy Ghost, as our Lord told the apostles, would bring to their minds all the things that he had taught them. And they all of the sudden with the coming of the Holy Ghost, remembered everything our Lord taught them, and they also understood how it all ties together. One of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the gift of understanding, helps us in this regard. We have those wonderful gifts of the Holy Ghost that help us to live our faith, to persevere, to practice our faith. Our Lord says, when the Paraclete comes, whom I will send you from the Father. These are words that we use to demonstrate the truth that the Catholic Church has always taught, and that is that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and from the Son. Now, the creed that we recite at Mass on Sunday is called the Nicene Creed. It was written by the Church Fathers at the Council of Nicaea, which was in the year 325, the council that condemned Arius, the first general council of the Church. But later on, there were a few words added at the Council of Constantinople about the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. And finally, another council, some several hundred years later, because it was questioned, added the words, who proceeds from the Father, added the words, and from the Son. In Latin, the word is filioque. And it is interesting, important to know, because the Eastern Church, many of those in the East, separated from the Catholic Church over this one doctrine. They said, no, the Holy Ghost only proceeds from the Father, not from the Son. And it is true that on occasion our Lord said that the Father would send the Holy Ghost. But note the words in today's Gospel, the Paraclete whom I will send you from the Father. So our Lord is sending the Holy Ghost because he proceeds from the Father and from the Son. Now this may seem a minor point, and to us in many ways it is. We accept it. It's what the Church teaches. But this was the argument or the cause that was used by what are called the Eastern Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox, all of those churches that use the word Orthodox. They separated from the Catholic Church in the year 1054. And there were many circumstances involved. A lot of it was pride. There was a thinking that the Church began in the East, so the head of the Church shouldn't be the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, should be the Bishop of Constantinople, the center of the empire in the East. And so there was a resentment to this, the power, the authority in the Church coming from Rome rather than from Constantinople. So there were a lot of other reasons, but this was the argument they used. They said that the Roman Catholic Church had changed the doctrine and taught erroneously that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, the Orthodox then went on to deny many other things. They reject papal infallibility. They reject the Immaculate Conception. They teach that one can divorce and remarry, one of the things that the Novus Ordo Church is now trying to do, many of the bishops and cardinals and so-called pope approving of giving sacraments to those who are divorced and remarried. But that's something that is taught formally by the Orthodox churches. So I mentioned this just for your information to be aware of. So note that today when we say the creed after the gospel, that we say that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And it's right here in this gospel that we can point to the words of our Lord. Of course, that was believed by everyone. Before the Greek schism, it was understood and accepted by all Catholics. And we can point to Eastern fathers of the Church who lived in the 3rd or 4th or 5th centuries professing their faith that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. But that was the justification that was used to separate from the Catholic Church. A very tragic historic fact that led to millions even separating, falling into schism, separating from the Catholic Church, a schism which has endured throughout the centuries since the 11th century. At any rate, we reflect upon the Holy Ghost and his importance in our life. We say that the Holy Ghost is the hidden guest of our souls. We say in the Catechism that the soul is, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, because he dwells in the soul through baptism, through the life of sanctifying grace. And he is sometimes referred to as the hidden guest, because we often forget that the Holy Ghost is with us, that he dwells with us. So let us make this novena with devotion. I encourage you to make it during this week on your own, to say the prayers each day, to prepare for the wonderful feast of Pentecost, because we need the grace of the Holy Ghost to strengthen us, to help us persevere. We read about the martyrs, and we wonder, how could they have been able to endure what they endured, to persevere, and not to fall away from the faith? Because there were some who fell away. Well, it was the Holy Ghost inspiring them, strengthening them, working within them, strengthening them to persevere. Remember what our Lord himself said to the apostles. He said, when you get dragged before the rulers, don't think in advance what you're going to say to them, because it will be given to you at that time. Meaning that the Holy Ghost would inspire them how to answer their persecutors. And so we must have great confidence in the gifts and the strength, the power of the Holy Ghost. And again, make this novena well. Ask the Holy Ghost to come into us anew. We have the Holy Ghost through grace, but to fill us with a greater share of his gifts, to strengthen us that we might persevere in this age of apostasy. How grateful we must be for having the truth, but let us ask the Holy Ghost to help us to persevere in that truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.